Last weekend, we gathered in this place to celebrate a risen Savior. We came to celebrate the good news, right? That Jesus is alive. And I, for one, am still celebrating that news today. Because Jesus wasn't just alive 2,000 years ago. He wasn't just alive last Sunday. Guess what? Jesus is alive and active today. Can I get an amen from somebody? Let's go. That phrase, good news, is oftentimes referred to as the gospel in Christian circles. You've heard the word gospel spoken in church, but perhaps you've heard that phrase so many times and you don't really understand what the gospel truly is. Well, let me share with you what the Bible says about the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, Paul does a great job of explaining the gospel in a succinct way. In verse 3, he says, "For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures." That is the good news. That is the gospel. That Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose again. You see, the gospel's always had its critics. Maybe you know some of them. The gospel's had naysayers and people that are doubters. People have questioned the validity of scripture and really the validity of the resurrection of Jesus since the moment Jesus rose from the grave. And yet in verse 12, Paul is going to go on to address the doubters here in Corinth. And he says, "Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead?" And that day, Paul couldn't understand how someone could deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he knew that the evidence was overwhelming. What you may not realize is people in the first century, for the most part, knew that Jesus rose from the dead. Over the course of 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus appeared in multiple locations, multiple times to multiple groups of people. In fact, there were over 500 eyewitnesses that saw resurrected Jesus and interacted with him in multiple places around Israel. Even Josephus, the primary secular Jewish historian of the day, validated the fact that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. The people in that day knew that Jesus was alive. They were talking and they were proclaiming that Jesus is alive. And that's why Paul asked the question in verse 12, "Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead?" But you know what? In the same way Paul had to address that question in his day, I think it's a good thing for us to address that same question in our day. I mean, think about it. What if the story was God created it, we broke it, and Jesus didn't fix it? Have you ever thought about that? What if Jesus didn't do what he claimed that he would do? What if his bones were still in the tomb? What if Jesus didn't rise from the grave? The question I want us to think about today is, what if Easter never happened? Think about that. Think about the severity of that question. Think about the implications of that question. Think about the hopelessness that would result from that question. See, that question is actually answered right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In fact, beginning in verse 13, you hear Paul raising this same question by saying, "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." And he thinks about this scenario where Jesus didn't do what he said he would do. He didn't rise from the grave. There was no Easter. And then he goes on to kind of play this game of thinking about the what ifs. And he says, if that be true, there are seven consequences that are going to result from that in our world. And I hope you have your Bible today, because we're going to spend some time in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to look at those seven consequences that result from what if Jesus didn't rise from the grave. And I want to encourage you to write these seven things down and to follow along in the Bible as we look at what he's talking about here. He said, these are seven things that would result if Jesus's body was decomposing in a tomb today. The first thing he's going to tell us is this. He said, our preaching is in vain. Our preaching is in vain. In verse 14, he says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain. That word vain, it literally means empty. It means meaningless, with no purpose. It means a waste of time. I'll give you another word for the word vain. It's the word useless. Right here, Paul was, he was saying, if there was no Easter, we are wasting our time here today. I wasted my time studying and preparing this message. You are wasting your time listening to this message. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, Paul would say, all of us need to be doing something else with our time here on planet Earth. It's a pretty day. Go play outside, right? He's saying, if Jesus stayed dead, our proclamation is in vain and our preaching is useless. Why? Because the heart of the gospel is this, in verse 3, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he raised on the third day. I can't preach the gospel without preaching the resurrection of Jesus. Without that, our preaching is in vain. If the resurrection didn't happen, we as a church need to skip phase 2. And phase 3 and phase 4 and go back to the very final stage where we sell all these buildings and these properties and do something else. That's what Paul was saying. In verse 14, he said, and if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain. It's pointless. But not only does he say that our preaching is in vain, he said, secondly, our faith is in vain. Keep going in verse 14. He says, and so is your faith. Let me ask you a personal question today. Do you trust Jesus today, yes or no? Do you really? I'm asking you really. Do you really trust Jesus today, yes or no? You know, if Jesus Christ is still in the grave, he doesn't deserve your trust. Nobody in their right mind should put their faith or trust in a dead God. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And we know that verse, but don't miss this today. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation. Without Jesus rising and doing what Jesus did, there is no salvation. You know what sets Jesus apart from every other world religion leader in the world? It's the fact that he's alive. Listen, every one of them lived and died and stayed dead. Go down the list. Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, Joseph Smith, and so on and so on. All of them live like you and I live. All of them died like we will die, and they stayed dead. Jesus is different. You know, Vladimir Lenin wasn't a religious leader, but he was the leader of the Soviet Union. And I read the other day an interesting article that said that right now, you can get on an airplane, go to the other side of the globe, and see his embalmed body in a mausoleum in Moscow's Red Square. Here's the crazy part. His body is nearly 152 years old. And yet he doesn't look a day over 54. His body is getting better with age. It must be nice, right? I mean, some of us are falling apart. You say, well, man, how does that happen? How does his body get better with age? Let me tell you how. The Russian government spends $200,000 a year to maintain his corpse. Russian scientists have spent the last 98 years keeping Lenin's body in good shape, adding a fresh coat of embalming fluids every other year. Right now, they use artificial eyelids. They use artificial patches on his face. In fact, they've recently resculpted his nose and his cheekbones so that he could have a better appearance. That's crazy, y'all. But I read that and I was reminded that there is nothing that mankind can do to avoid death. I mean, think about it. That applies to all the Lenins of the world, all the religious founders of the world, all of us in the world. We live, we die, we stay dead. But Jesus is different. See, the best news this world has ever received came from a graveside just outside the walls of Jerusalem. It's the best news we've ever heard. The news was he is risen and he's alive forevermore. Listen, that is the truth. Jesus was raised from the dead. That is the truth that science cannot explain. It's history that cannot be repeated. It's a truth that time cannot erode away. It's the undeniable, indisputable gospel truth of all truths. Can I get an amen from somebody, right? I mean, think about the truth that we're talking about today. It's a truth that sets captives free. I've been set free. Anybody else? It's a truth that heals the brokenhearted and forgives every sin and brings people into salvation. It's truth that proves that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, the one and only Messiah that came to save us and change us and make us new. I'm glad that I know the truth today. We got to know the truth. And the truth is Jesus is alive. He lived, he died, and he arose from the grave. But the question is, what if he didn't? What if he didn't? Paul says, if he didn't, our preaching is in vain and our faith is in vain. And the third thing he's going to tell us is that we are false witnesses about God. If Jesus didn't rise, we're false witnesses about God. Keep going, verse 15. He says, moreover, we are found to be false witnesses about God because we have testified wrongly about God and that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. In fact, the dead are not raised. Did you see that? The Bible doesn't say that we are simply mistaken if Jesus didn't rise. The Bible says we're false witnesses. Do you know what a false witness is? It's somebody who sits in a courtroom and knowingly and willingly purges themselves and become a liar. They commit perjury. They tell a lie. They are a false witness. If Jesus is still in a tomb, the Bible says we are liars and we have testified that Jesus is a liar. Many of the disciples saw Jesus. They talked to Jesus. They ate meals with Jesus. They fellowshiped with Jesus. They touched Jesus after the resurrection. So it was a game changer for them. Somebody says, Pastor, how do you know that they didn't just make all this stuff up? Have you ever wondered that? How do you know they didn't just get into like a boardroom and compare notes and draw up this incredible narrative and make sure all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed, making sure there were no errors? How do you know they didn't just make it all up? Well, I'll tell you how I know. You ready? You won't die for a lie if you know it's a lie. You won't die for a lie if you know it's a lie. Now, we're seeing this with Islamic radicals today. People are willing to die for something that they believe to be true, but men will never die for something that they know to be false. And yet, when you look at how the stories played out for most of Jesus's disciples, the majority of them lost their lives because of the gospel message. They paid with their very life's blood because their testimonies and faith were in Jesus Christ. And not only did they die because of it, the Bible says they suffered because of it. They bled for it. They were tortured because of it. They were murdered. Why? Because they believed. They believed. Hypocrites and martyrs aren't made of the same stuff. They're on two different sides of the spectrum. A person may live for a lie, but they won't die for a lie. These people testified and said, he is alive. We know that he is alive. We believe that he is alive. And many of them sealed their testimony with their very lives. If Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, Paul says, our preaching is in vain, our faith is in vain, and we are false witnesses about God. But the fourth thing he's going to tell us is that our faith is also worthless. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, our faith is worthless. Look at verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. If you write in your Bible, I want you to circle that word worthless. Do you know what a worthless faith is? Let me give you a simple definition today. A worthless faith is having faith in anything that isn't alive forever. A worthless faith is having faith in anything that won't be alive forever. In other words, if your faith is in a statue or a monument, like many had faith in that day, then you have a dead faith. If you have placed your faith in a job or your income or your possessions here on the earth, you have a worthless faith. If your faith is in a person or a relationship with someone else, the Bible says your faith is worth nothing and will get you nowhere. And in the same way, if your faith is in Jesus and Jesus didn't rise from the grave, Paul would say you don't have a saving faith or a sanctifying faith or a satisfying faith. You have a worthless faith. Because faith in something that isn't alive forever is a dead faith. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. He goes on to say, and then he gives us the fifth thing. He said, and we are still in our sins. Look at verse 17b. You are still in your sins. What does that mean? Well, it means that if Jesus stayed in the grave, then God didn't accept the payment for your sins. And this is scary. Because if God didn't accept the payment for your sins, that means that you still have a debt that hasn't been paid and cannot be paid. And if your sin debt isn't paid, then you are still responsible for your sins. And with that responsibility falling on your shoulders, that means you have no hope for forgiveness and you'll be eternally separated from God in a real place called hell. But when God raised Jesus from the grave, that was proof that the full payment for your sins had been paid. I want you to think about this. When Jesus was raised from the grave, that was when God said, paid in full. That's the reason that Paul said in Romans 4:25, he was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Do you see that? What that means is Jesus died for our sins. But notice, his death in and of itself wasn't enough. His death in and of itself was incomplete until God raised him from the dead. And that's what that means. He was delivered up for our trespasses, for our offenses, and he was raised for our justification. If you're taking notes, I want you to get this today. You ready? Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there would be no hope of heaven. If Jesus wasn't raised from the grave, there is no hope for heaven. And the fact that Jesus died for you isn't that important unless he also rose from the dead. See, that was God's divine stamp of approval, indicating he accepted once and for all the full payment for your sins. No resurrection, no Savior. Do you get it? No resurrection, no Savior. No Savior, no forgiveness. No forgiveness, no justification. No justification, no cleansing. And if there is no cleansing, then the penalty of your sin is still upon you today. And if the penalty of sin is still upon you today, man, the Bible indicates that you are destined for death and hell, and you are still in your sin, even as you're listening to the sound of my voice right now. Verse 17, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. If there had been no Easter, Paul continues to say, those who have died before us are all dead. And this is a hard one to think about. Verse 18 says, those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. The word here translated perish is the word apollanto. It means they've been destroyed. They've been killed. They've experienced destruction. They've been demolished is the original word. In other words, if this be true, then your mother, your father, your children, your loved ones, your friends, all the people that you know that had faith in Jesus, they're gone forever. If the resurrection didn't happen, you'll never see them again. They're in the grave to rot and decay. That's it. It's over. It's finished. Death won. Think about that today. If Jesus was just another man and didn't rise from the grave like he said he would, then all we can hope for is to get older and older, to get sicker and sicker until we finally die and that's it. We stop breathing, our bodies are buried, we rot and decay in the ground, that's it. It's pretty sobering to think about, isn't it? But that's what Paul was saying in that day. He was saying, if Jesus Christ hasn't risen from the grave, our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. We are false witnesses about God. Our faith is worthless. We are still in our sins, and those who've died before us are all dead without having any hope to ever live again. And then last but not least, Paul's going to go on to tell us one more thing. He's going to say, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then people should pity us. People should pity us. Look at verse 19. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. Here's what that means. If this is all there is, we should be pitied by our family members and our friends and coworkers and teachers and coaches and neighbors. Everyone who knows that we are following Jesus and in Christ, they should pity us. He was saying, if Jesus is still in the tomb, our future at very best is bleak. Ernest Hemingway once thought about this scenario, and he put it this way. He said, it's as though we are in a colony of ants living on one end of a burning log. Hopeless. See, if we don't have a resurrected Savior, Paul said we should be pitied more than anyone. He's saying if Christ isn't alive, then people should feel sorry for us because our entire purpose in this life, our entire focus for eternity is meaningless and empty and hopeless. I don't know about you, but for me, it's been almost depressing to think about this scenario where Jesus stayed dead. It's been deflating. It's been demoralizing to think about a reality where we have no hope. And I'm sure for Paul, it was a sobering exercise to think about this world without a risen Savior. But I love how he transitions the focus of his message in verse 20, because after walking through all the what ifs and saying, what if he didn't rise from the grave? What if he stayed dead? What if? Then he transitions and says this, but as it is, in other words, but the truth is, but the reality is, and then he goes on to say, Christ has been raised from the dead. And I love that. Because he's talking to skeptics, he's talking to doubters and say, okay, if you're right, then we have no hope. But then he looks at him and says, because you're wrong, we have all the hope in the world. See, it's because Jesus did rise from the dead that our preaching is profitable and our faith is life-changing and our witness for God is powerful. And our devotion is valuable and our sin has been erased and death has been deflated and defeated and our future is secure today. Why? Because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. That is our hope today. That is the fact of life. He's taken the sting out of death. He's taken the gloom out of the grave. He's given us a hope that is steadfast and secure. That's the gospel. The gospel is the fact that Jesus was crucified. He was crucified. And he told us that we should be crucified as well. Galatians 2:20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Jesus was crucified. But not only was he crucified, Jesus also died. This is a real part of the story. He died and he told us to die as well. In Romans chapter 6, verse 11, so you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. He was crucified and said, you need to be crucified. He died and said, you need to die. But guess what? The third part of the gospel story is Jesus rose from the grave. And he told us loud and clear that because he rose from the grave, that you too can rise from the grave. You too can experience eternal life. Read this with me in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. It says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For the death he died to sin once for all time. But the life he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Man, I don't know about you, but I am so grateful today that my God is alive. There are a lot of dead gods out there. I'm glad that mine's alive. And I'm glad that Jesus did what had to be done so that I could know what it's like to live eternally with purpose and hope and joy and peace and everything else that God promises me today. Aren't you grateful that Jesus is alive today? Amen. One of my favorite places on planet Earth to visit is the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. This is a place that I've visited countless times, many times over the course of my life. But in my most recent visit, I had a unique opportunity to go a little bit early before everybody else arrived. And I was in the garden all by myself for an hour. Now, that's a cool place to be for an hour. And I say it's a rare opportunity because every other time I've been there, it's been crawling with people. Normally, there's a long line to walk into the tomb. And I mean, it's chaos and it's people from all nations and tongues. And you've got, I mean, it is a party at the grave most of the time. But this time, I was all by myself. And it was almost weird at first because I'm like, what do I do? I mean, I've got this place for an hour. What do I do? So you know what I did? I just went. I walked into the tomb and I just sat on the floor. I sat on the floor and I just tried to soak it all in. And I had a great, couple moments with the Lord. I'm praying and I'm, you know, thinking through what Jesus did for me. And I'm trying to recount all the steps that led to that place. And I'm trying to just absorb the gospel story. And I'm trying to think about what Jesus endured for me. And I'm not an emotional person at all. I very rarely get emotional, but by myself in that tomb, sitting Indian style on the floor, I was overwhelmed in that moment. And for some reason, I feel like the Lord led me to open up my Bible. I didn't have a paper Bible with me, but I had my phone and I pulled up my Bible app. And I felt like the Lord led me to go all the way back to Isaiah chapter 53. And as I sat there, I opened up the book of Isaiah and I started to read Isaiah chapter 53. And I was reminded that God led Isaiah to write those words, to pin those words 700 years before Jesus was born. Think about that timeline. But he gave him insight into who Jesus would be, what Jesus would do, and how Jesus would suffer for us. And as I read that, it was just one of those moments that I'll never forget. I want to read those, just a few of those verses for you today. And I want you to put yourself inside that tomb and I want you to think about what Jesus has done for you and what he's done for me and how he has allowed us to experience God because of what happened in that place. Verse 2 says, "He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses, and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds." That was a moving moment, a memorable moment in my life. But you know what's interesting about this story? As I read those words, we are healed by his wounds. For the very first time, I read that differently. Now, I've read that passage 100 times, but for some reason, this time was different. Because as I thought about what that just said, we are healed by his wounds, immediately this popped into my mind. I said, well, yeah, but. And I've never had a yeah, but moment while reading Isaiah 53. We are healed by his wounds. And then I proceeded to think, yes, but if this tomb isn't empty, that's not true. We are healed by his wounds, yes, because he's alive, right? I mean, think about it. That statement is false if Jesus didn't rise again. That statement is false if his body was in the tomb with me that day. But as I sat on the floor of the tomb, I looked around and I was the only one there. And I said, because he's not here, this statement is true. It's true. Wounds from a dead God do nothing. We get this today? Affliction and persecution and suffering do nothing. Being despised and rejected by men, it does nothing. Being pierced, being crushed, being punished does nothing unless he is risen. The fact that he is risen changes the ball game. Let me share with you some good news today. We don't have to ask the question, what if Easter never happened? We don't have to wonder what if. You know why? Because it did. It did. Just as Paul said to the Corinthians, but as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead. May I ask you a question, believer? Do you believe that today? Are you living like you believe that today? Are you living with purpose today? Are you living with peace today? Are you living like your God is alive? Life on earth is too short to live like Easter never happened. Life on earth is too brief for us to live like Jesus is still in the grave. Life is too short to live with a worthless faith, putting our faith and trust in something that won't be alive forever. So here's my challenge for all of us today. You ready? Live your life alive and remember that you can do that because Jesus is alive. Live with purpose today. Live with peace today. Live to fulfill the Great Commission in your lifetime today. Why? Because Jesus is alive and he's the one who commissioned you to do so. Listen, God has given us hope. We have peace. We have joy. We have purpose. Why? Because he's alive. We don't have a dead God. And yet so many people claim to be Christians and live a dead life. Let's live our lives for Christ. And let's be reminded that he is the reason we can do that.